And we're back. This is Morning Cannolis, and we're chatting this morning about issues in connection with the recent search of the residence of the former President Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago. During the course of the remainder of this hour and then next hour, we're going to be spending a lot of time talking generally about criminal process, the criminal procedure. We're going to chat more about how one goes about charging in the federal and state system. We'll talk a little bit about investigations generally, of which the search warrant is a part. And again, as I made the point prior to our break, the search warrant does not accomplish the charge against anyone. It is not a charging document under the Fifth Amendment, where you're required to present this to a grand jury. That could happen down the road. This is a part of the investigative process. And pursuant to that information gathering process, which this is a part of, in connection with the execution of the warrant, it is routine, and it happened in this particular case that when the agents were done searching there, they provided a receipt to the authors of to the owners of Mar-a-Lago, presumably the former president and other people who were in charge at the time, quite literally a receipt providing them with information about the kinds of things that they took. And so we also have access to that by virtue of what the court released in this case. The receipt for property, for example, includes a box that says executive grant of clemency, Roger Stone, potential presidential records, binders of photographs, some handwritten notes, indicates miscellaneous secret documents, miscellaneous top secret documents, a whole list of things, actually a couple of pages provided by, developed by, created by those agents who are searching and seizing materials and then given to the owner, the occupier of the present of the property itself, to let them know what was taken. One of the things that is also the subject of a lot of debate, it really is now the big story coming out of that search, is what is the basic, the informational predicate for it. And I mentioned before the break that any search warrant is supported not only by a specific description that is timely, that the magistrate judge or the judge will describe the particular things to be seized, the premises, and be particular about those, but also what is the probable cause, and what we don't have, what is not yet been released into the public domain is what is certainly there, which is an affidavit probably of one or more of the federal agents, the FBI agents, who describes, again, with great specificity, the basis upon which probable cause could be found. And again, we don't know the content of that, but highly likely that that is a 10, 15, 20, maybe 25 page document in which the federal agent lays out with great specificity who it is that he or she spoke to. Who is it that the FBI was engaged in determining whether or not there would in fact be documents there that would reveal some evidence of a crime? Somebody had to be there to describe them. This is not a fishing expedition, if you will. It is not the case that the federal government, or the FBI in particular, could simply say, well, gee, we think that there are some documents missing. Where would they be? Likely they're at the home of the former president. That is not probable cause. That is not a basis upon which any magistrate would grant authorization to go in. Instead, in that affidavit, which we have not yet seen, in that affidavit, undeniably, there will be information about who those people are who are at Mar-a-Lago, who are able to testify, again, presumably with great reliability. A big piece of this is whether or not the people who are providing this information have that information, if they are reliable in and of themselves. Huge amount of information in that affidavit that establishes that. These are people who have information that, judge, you can rely upon for these specific reasons. All of that set forth in an extensive affidavit. And we don't have that document, and that's the reason why a lot of the media outlets, many of them, the major media outlets around the country, have come forward and asked the judge to release that underlying affidavit. Again, you might say, well, gee, didn't he release some things already? He did. He released the documents that I've already read from and described to you. That is the authorization itself. He released the specific location. He told the agent agents in that attachment that I also described this morning, what exactly it is they could search for. What we do not have in the public domain is the affidavit, the sworn statement by the federal agents describing who they spoke to, what they know based upon their reliable interviews with and discussions with other people. What is the basis for believing that in that location, you've got evidence of a crime that may actually be in violation of those three, maybe four statutes under the Federal Criminal Code that are also identified in the warrant? So again, it is not a difficult concept to understand. It's one that's used routinely for, frankly, tens, if not hundreds of years now in America, and in my own practice of about 30 years or so, routinely would support a request for the entry into a home, a business, could be a safe, could be a car, could be a box of some kind, could be a safe. You've got to have some support for doing that, and that's in the affidavit. So why do I talk all about that? Well, because these major news outlets have asked the judge to unseal that document, to let us know exactly what it is that the government, that the FBI knows about, that supports their finding, their recommendation to the judge that there is probable cause. And the judge had a hearing last week. He called everybody in and said, okay, let's talk about this motion from the national media to release this document. And I will say again that it is a normal practice for magistrate judges certainly to entertain motions like this. It is atypical. It is unusual, in my own experience, virtually unknown for a judge to release that information yet. I mentioned before that this is all a part of the investigative process. No one charged yet, but during the course of this investigation, there may come a time when the Department of Justice pursues under the Fifth Amendment in the grand jury process a decision to charge one or more people with either removing, destroying, simply possessing some of these documents. That hasn't happened yet. When that does happen, it would be very routine then for a defendant or defendants to petition the judge, for example, to suppress the evidence of the search that's already been conducted. It would be premature at this time to do that, again, because no one's been charged. A case has not been initiated in the federal district court in Southern Florida. And even though the former president talks to these days about filing a Fourth Amendment motion, which he can do, the courts are open generally, the proper process for doing that is once someone is charged, then you challenge it. And at that time, plainly, the issue of whether there was probable cause to execute, to issue this warrant would be before the court. So what we have here is a little bit of a premature attempt, again, by national media, not in any way to discredit their legitimate interest on behalf of the American public in getting the information. They want to go in and they want to say, judge, release this information. There's a national interest in this. This is not the regular case where normally you would wait until someone is charged to have discussions about the legitimacy of the warrant. Release it now, because there is such a compelling interest. And again, the judge in South Florida has had a hearing on this, and surprisingly, he has said that he might be inclined to do just that. He solicited from the Department of Justice its position on this. The judge asked the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, the specific prosecutors, the assistant U.S. attorneys handling this case, what is your position on the release of this? And not surprisingly, consistent with long tradition and contemporary practice inside the Department of Justice, those assistant U.S. attorneys have said, judge, don't release this. Don't release this. We recognize that this is a matter of great public concern, great national interest, but there's a greater concern, they're arguing, which is the legitimacy of the investigation as it's been undertaken. This is a part of that investigation, has not yet resulted in the issuance of charges by a grand jury under those statutes or others. And so, for example, the prosecutors have said through the Attorney General and their own filings that the disclosure of the government's affidavit at this stage in these proceedings would likely chill future cooperation by the witnesses who are identified in that affidavit. Their names are there. Their descriptions are there. The bases for their understandings of where these documents are all set forth in that affidavit. And it may also undermine the future progress of the investigation, they say. They acknowledge that they interviewed witnesses in connection with this investigation. That is not one bit surprising. And as a result of that, the strong position of the U.S. Department of Justice has been, do not release this. Do not do so. Even so, at the hearing, the magistrate judge said, you know what? I'm inclined to do something here. Go back and prepare for me a redacted version of your affidavit that I can consider in determining whether or not even that should be released. He gave him until this coming Thursday in which to do that. I want to talk about the implications of that and what may come of that. That homework being delivered by the U.S. Department of Justice this Thursday, and whether we're going to see the affidavit sometime soon. We'll talk about that right after the last break in this hour. Join us at 844-967-2789 right here at Morning Cannolis.